Okay. Today we are talking about the 3 weeks, which is called Bein HaMetzarim, between the constraints. We will be looking into a few psukim in the Chumash. Oh yes, two announcements. First of all, the shir is dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmas Chana Edel Bas Moshe. Second of all, no concerts today. All cell phones off.
I left my cell phone.
Good. Everyone who thinks their cell phones are off. Everyone who doesn't know how to turn their cell phones off. Okay. All right. We are talking about Bein HaMetzarim, which is the official name of this three-week period, which started Shavasar B'Tammuz Tuesday, the 17th of Tammuz. Okay. Now, we know, it's famous, that these 3 weeks are times of paranos, are times where difficulty, opposition, our enemies will find the opportunity to prevail against us. Many terrible things happened during these 3 weeks. Of course, you know the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed, among other things, on Tisha B'Av. And the city was split on Shavasar B'Tammuz 3 weeks earlier. Many things in the later history, famous, one of the big ones, other than pogroms and libels and things like that happen a lot during these 3 weeks, but the expulsion from Spain. This is a time where our enemies prevail. And whenever our enemies prevail against us, we know. This is not even, you know, a question. This is so deeply ingrained in us. It's not even something we vacillate on. We know that when our enemies prevail against us, it means one thing and one thing only, that Hashem is sending us a message that we need to get a hold of ourselves. This shouldn't be happening. We have to look into ourselves. What are we missing? Now, what we're missing can be defined very clearly by understanding the two bookmarks, so to speak, the two walls that constrain us, Shavasar B'Tammuz and everything it represents, the 17th of Tammuz and what happened on that day. The Mishnah talks about five things that happened on that day. And Tisha B'Av, the five major calamities that happened at that day, till the time of the Mishnah, many things happened past that. Now, understanding the origin of those 2 days, you know, the nature of the things that happened on either of those days helps us understand that those days are those events, those catastrophes, all are linked in theory, all relate to one idea. Something devastating happened on Shavasar B'Tammuz, and something else devastating, which is the natural outgrowth of that, happened on Tisha B'Av. And every single thing that happens between those days is an expression of it. So we have to understand Shavasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. But we also have to understand something interesting. When we talk about between the constraints, you know, when you're in a narrow place, constrained on two sides, all sides rather, you know, it could be either good or bad. It could be a very protected place where nobody can get you. Everybody runs in danger to a fortress where you're walled in and everybody's together and everybody's protected. That could be the experience of the 3 weeks. However, it could also be that when you're in danger and you find yourself in a small place, you're an easy target, right? You're all an easy target. There's nowhere to escape. Now, which one of these it becomes, a place where we're protected or a place where we're a target, that's in our hands. Because we know that these days will eventually not be a days that we will be a target, but the opposite, days of complete protection, because eventually Tisha B'Av will be the Yontiv, the Moed, the future festival of the building of the 3 weeks, in which case, the building of the third base of Mikdash. And of course, at that point, we're not a target anymore. It's the exact opposite. We're under Hashem's protection completely, right? So what we want to talk about is the past, you know, what's going on in these 3 weeks? And we're not going to speak about it only in terms of history. We're getting back to the most fundamental concept that underlies everything, the Torah, the mitzvahs, why we're here, what our job is here, what the goal is, what our job is, what our objective is here, what our destination is. The base, this is the base, this is the core. What we're talking about today is the core of all, the framework that structures Jewish proper thinking, okay? The big picture. When we start speaking about Shavasar B'Tammuz, and we start speaking about Tisha B'Av, we have to go back to a prior concept, a much earlier fundamental concept of which these are expressions of that. We're going to talk about something, you know, what's at the basis of all of our thinking, and that is the Bria, Hashem's creation of the world. Now, we know that the way in Bereshis, Pasuk, this is a Pasuk that there's so much written on. I mean, everything in the first four chapters, as you well know, or five chapters, the whole Masa Bereshis is written on, you know, continuously. And when we talk about Bereshis, the Pasuk that we always discuss, and it's in relationship to Avraham, is that the Torah says that this is the story of creation, and the word used is Behi Bar'am, right? You know the famous word, Behi Bar'am. Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. Eila Toldos HaShemayim Ba'aretz. This is the story of the generation of the heavens and the earth. Behi Bar'am, which means in their creation. There's an additional hey there. Okay, and Bereshis Rabbah, the Medrash says, Behi Bar'am. Behi Bar'am. Here in Bereshis, this is on, as we said, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey, Bereshis Rabba, the Medrash Yud Beis, 12:2. The sages explain, Behi Bar'am is Behei Bar'am, with a Hey. With a Hey, Hashem created the world. Now, this is very important, Yesod, fundamental idea. This is, by the way, all these ideas, of course, Rav Moshe Shapira explains, unravels this whole thing with the 3 weeks and this whole production, this whole structure we're creating here. The word hey, what does the word hey mean? Behei bar'am. Hashem created the world with a hey. Behei bar'am. So the word hey is, we know, five numerically. But the word hey is used in Hebrew in and of itself as a word, hey aleph, meaning to give, to bestow. For example, Yosef says to the people of Egypt that he is giving them food to eat. And Yosef says here, "Vayomer Yosef el ha'am," and Yosef said to the nation, "Hey lachem zera, here I give to you seed, and you shall plant." There was one example in Chumash of the word hey aleph being to give. Behei Bar'am means that Hashem bestowed upon the world something. Now, the name of Hashem, the name of Hashem that we always relate to, the holy name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, has two heys, very famous idea. One comes after a Yud, and one comes after a Vav. Okay? The idea behind this is that when Hashem created the world with a hey, means to give, Hashem gave two things to the world. Okay, Hashem bestowed two basic realities into the world, okay, embedded into the world two realities, two truths, and both of them together combine together to create for us the purpose, the tachlis. And when Hashem created man, this is a fundamental idea, whenever we use that term, tzuras ha'adam, the proper form of man, a human being is meant to evolve by their own choice into a tzuras ha'adam. That's when, to the maximum that a human being is capable of, they within themselves have some access to both of those hays. What are the hays? The first hay in the name of Hashem, okay, follows a yud. Yud, you know, is a tiny little letter. When you put it in front of any other letter, like shir, yashir, Halech yelech, okay? It makes it future. Rashi says by az yashir, after giving many, many examples of how when you put a yud in front of a word, it converts it into future. Rashi says yud is, the concept of the yud is machshava, the concept of thought, because something in the future has not yet happened. So when you put a yud in front of a word to say it's gonna happen, that yud implies thought. Perception of that, of something that is not tangible yet. Yud always represents thought. So when you say there's a hey, and it follows a yud in the beginning of Hashem's name. What you're saying is that the first thing that Hashem bestowed, you know, kind of upon us is the possibility of us being connected to the thought that preceded the world, Hashem's truth, so to speak. The thought that led to the future creation of the world. In other words, what we have words for this, the true das, knowledge of Hashem's purpose, will, the ultimate or the ultimate light. Now, the truth is, without going into the subject in detail, and this is a huge subject and a lot of Kabbalah deals with this, Yechezkel's vision of the Masa Merkava, of what's going on in the upper spheres, is a vision of that Yud. Okay, in other words, how Hashem, you know, what brought the world into existence, how Hashem conducts, not so much in technically, but how Hashem is bringing this world to its final destination through our choices, which are completely our own. All of that, okay, that's the thought, the truth, the R, that Hashem allowed us to some degree, but mostly it's Chaye Olam Haba, it's in the next phase. Rambam says the next world is Das, as we've talked about so much here, the expansion, the endless expansion of the understanding to take in everything, where the individual person begins to experience that they are part of the great Anochi, the Ani that we talked about is really part of the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which encompasses everything that ever happened and will happen and why it happened. It all becomes clear, and Ramesh Perek points out many times, it's a progression in Chaye Olam Haba, the future, that increases and increases and increases and never stops. The endless expansion. Like we talk about the expanding galaxies, that's what happens, Lahavdil, with a person. That's part of the Yud. But it's really not so much for this world, only our attempt to get as close as we can to having, you know, to having some attachment to that, so then in the future that will expand and expand us. The other hey is our world, the Vav, which is six. Six is the Sivan, the six of Sivan, the Torah. In other words, tangibly, practically, through the mitzvahs, in day-to-day action, in day-to-day life, you know, actualizing the truths that come to us in the Torah in our behavior, in our lifestyle, living them, although we might live and do things and even talk about things that we don't fully comprehend, right? You understand, you've all heard about the blind man, right? With the traffic lights. You can talk about something you don't fully comprehend, and then when you begin to comprehend it, it's everything, you know what you were talking about. So that's the second. Hashem bestowed upon the world the mind, which will expand and expand and expand, the ability to purify and connect the mind to truth. And Hashem bestowed upon the world the gift of the entire Bria, the 6 days of creation, which come to their fruition and are purposeful and are vindicated, really. In other words, we have a right to make use of everything that Hashem made in the 6 days of creation by the Torah, by using it for the Torah and the mitzvahs. That's what Hashem also gave us. Now, the combination of both, in other words, what a human being should know and be attached to in their mind, in their yearning, in their heart, the R and the truth, and how a person behaves in their day-to-day life are supposed to combine, we've spoken about this, the intellect and the gut desire for what I want to do and how I want to think and how I want to speak and the choices I make. They're supposed to combine. The combination of both is called the perfect Tzuras HaAdam, a phrase we use a lot, a very important phrase in philosophy. The Tzuras HaAdam, the proper format, in other words, the proper contours, physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, so everything, the proper contours of what a human should be, an Adam should be, and that is called the Tzuras HaAdam. Okay. Any fragmentation of that wreaks havoc. In other words, when we spoke a few weeks ago about this idea in a different context, we said that it was the big catastrophe of the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim, the two big sins in the desert, which, by the way, Ishev Aser B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Okay, if you have columns, you're going to put a lot of things in these two columns. Ishev Aser B'Tammuz, Nishtabru HaLuchos, the Luchos were broken. Okay, and that's because of Chet HaEgel. And Tisha B'Av, They didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's because Chayit HaMeraglim. So these are both on two sides of the column. Now, we spoke about that the generation that left Mitzrayim, who saw, in other words, the mind, the Nisim of Hashem, who knew intellectually and experienced Einod Milvado, there's nothing other than Hashem, that's oneness that pervades the entire Bria, is the only thing, that only truth in existence, and to devote ourselves completely to it. That generation that experienced that, in other words, whose mind, the first hay, had some attachment to the Yud, to the truth, all right, and that's the Ten Dibros, of course, the first the Yud, that's Hashem's truth, right? That generation was supposed to actualize what they knew in the land of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that's the second hay. That's the hay of this world, of the Vav, of the whole Bria, the physical world, through the Torah being expressed, expressing itself properly. But what happens? The great tragedy, the catastrophe is that the generation that left Mitzrayim was not the same people that entered Eretz Yisrael. Right? Remember this? So we spoke about what that means, because every one of us is reliving that. Because these stories that take place on a big scale are all there to teach us, not some history, because what's that relevant to me? It's because everybody is experiencing the same thing. So that means that we, when there is a disattachment between what we know to be true and our commitment and our consistency in actualizing it, right, so that what we know stays in one place, that's the people that left Mitzrayim, and then how we behave is disconnected to it, not an extension of it, then that's the fragmentation of the Tzuras Adam. That's a person who's lurching from reaction to reaction, one day a tzaddik and one day a rasha, one day good, one day bad, up and down and back and forth, right? It's not a continuum. It's not consistent. That's not the Tzuras Adam. That's not a consistent Tzuras Adam. Now, we're putting a couple of things in these columns. So first of all, we have the first hay and the second hay. Okay? We have now, we put in there Shivasar B'Tamas and Tisha B'Av. Shivasar B'Tamas is the Egel, Tisha B'Av is the Meraglim. We'll talk about it in a second. The Yotzei Mitzrayim and the Nechnasei Ha'aretz. Let's take it, let's build this a little further, okay? In this combination of what you might call the first hay, the Das, the proper purification of the mind, and the second hay, which is the actualization, and the distance between them, that's Bein HaMetzarim. That's that space that disconnects us on both sides from one and the other. How did that happen? So, of course, we can talk about Shavas V'Tamas, Reigen Luchas, everything, until we talk about the Eitz Hadas, because as we said, that everything that happens in Bereishis and the Maisa Bereishis, by the way, we said Masa Merkava is the first Hey, right? It's really for Chaye Olam Haba. It's a Das we don't have here. It's a knowledge we don't have here. It's how, why, and how, and all of that. But the second hay is Masa Bereishis, what Hashem wants us to know and how Hashem will be revealed in this creation through the Bria. Okay, that's Masa Bereishis. We have to go to the story of Masa Bereishis, of course, because it has within it, it's the gene. Remember, we always talk about this, when you unravel a gene, you unravel the DNA in a gene, it's, you know, it's as longer than you can imagine and it's as complex as you can imagine. Anything that will ever come to be is already in the DNA of that gene, right? So too, anything that will ever unfold is in the Maisa Bereishis for this world, is in the story of the 6 days of creation. So what we're paralleling here is, again, obviously the eating of the Eitz Hadas and the expulsion from Gan Eden. Those two events, as described in Maisa Bereishis, are describing what again happens in Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim. And let's talk about that for a minute. The eating from the Eitz Hadas, as you know, and Rambam describes this in detail, took humanity from a perspective of pure truth, black and white truth, and introduced into our thinking the possibility that something that's false might be tempting or good or pleasurable or satisfying. In other words, what's sheker, false, we could perceive as tov, good, which is completely subjective. There's, as you know, truth and falsity is totally different than good and bad. True and false is subjective. I'm sorry, true and false is objective. The classic example that we use is 2 plus 2 is 4. If I ask you what's the bigger lie, 2 plus 2 is a million or 2 plus 2 is 4.00001. They're both sheker. It's either MS or it's sheker and there's nothing in between. But tov and ra, as you know, are very subjective. You're good. My perspective on things determines if it's tov or ra. Now, notice, in all of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, in that world of pure emes and sheker, which means in a world where man's ability to perceive reality was consistent, completely synchronized with the reality, with the truth, from as if man's perspective and Hashem's perspective were exactly the same. Hashem describes everything as tov ma'od. Everything from Hashem's perspective is tov or tov ma'od, correct? There is no ra, and this is very important in the light of the events of last week, because we cannot possibly evaluate things for, you know, from our small perspective. Notice that in the Masa Bereshis, the setting up of this world, which Rambam establishes, and it's clear that from Hashem's perspective, there's either truth, which means it's the will of Hashem and it's in sync with the will of Hashem, or it's contrary to the will of Hashem, which means it's sheker, it has no existence, it's a lie, it has no future, it has no kiyum, it has nothing. It's an illusion. It can't exist. Everything is called tov. There's nothing that's not tov and tov ma'od. Only when a person disconnects themselves, and we eat from the Eitz Hadas all day long. It's not about two random people in the ancient past who've made a mistake and we're all suffering. This is talking to us. When a person disconnects themselves, allows themselves not to see things, and you need the Torah to help you do this. So we abdicate. We don't turn to the Torah for our perspective. We therefore allow ourselves to be disconnected from that, and we begin to allow ourselves to see the world according to our limited judgment. In other words, not according to the emes and sheker as Hashem sees it, which is entirely tov. But we begin to see the world from our own perspective, then we introduce, this is critical, we introduce the possibility of ra. What that means is we introduce the possibility of seeing sheker as tov, okay, falsity as good, in other words, something contrary to the will of Hashem as a good thing, satisfying, pleasant, something I want, okay, and that, by definition, is ra. So what is the definition of the word ra? Bad is not the definition of the word ra. There's a specific scientific, okay, I'd say like linguistic definition. Ra is used in the Torah to mean a very particular thing. And that is the following. Ra, here. It is, ra means, here, page 4, okay? I'm using 3 different pamphlets from Moshe Shapiro. Only bits and pieces of each. Okay. Ra is the following. Tafshin Samachay. Page 4. Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, you got it. Ah, I'm almost there. Hold on. That's this one. Okay. Here, let me read you his words. He writes here about tov in the before us eating from the Eitz Hadas, kol mashu kayam, everything that exists, hu tov. V'chol masha eino tov einenu, and something that's not tov is doesn't exist. Everything is tov. Period. That's what we're going to see eventually in the next world when our mind opens up and we see that everything is pure tov, which we can't see here. Now ra is the following. Devar, he says. What do I do with this? Ridiculous. Page 4, Tafshin Samachay. I made it. Okay. All of that. Here it is. Page 8. Okay. Here's an example. In Tehillim, Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, Teroim Beshevet Barzel. What does that mean? Break them. Okay? Break them. Break the continuity with a iron staff. Here's from Yeshayahu. Roa Reish Vav Ayin He Hisroa Haaretz. And he's the Perush here is that the land became Shavarim Shavarim, all broken up. He points out, he said this in Italy, that you know in the Chumash by the truck there's a Mil El and a Mil Ra. What is the job of the Mil Ra on the bottom? Stop. To stop you, right? That's a pause. The concept of Ra is something that interferes with your ability to reach your destination. So when we see sheker, something which has no existence, and in our illusionary fantasy we see it as good and then give it an existence, activate it or create it, or behave according to this illusion, that is ra. Ra means you cannot get to your destination. What's your destination? Well, if you're starting out where your mind is meant to hold on to, not let go of the truth and the purity that it intuitively has, and which is increased with learning Torah, and then we disconnect from that, so now we see things that are sheker and have no real existence as pleasant and pleasurable, and we start to act according to that, we will never get to our destination, which is the other end, which is the tzuras ha'adam, a human being who lives and behaves and chooses in thought, speech, and action according to the MS. And that becomes who the human being is, their real identity, their the way they walk in this world, right? What they contribute to this world. That it will never happen. There's a disconnect in between. So now, by the way, he says that the Torah calls the Chagim Moadim. Moed means your destination, where you're trying to get to. But Chazal called them Yom Tov, because Tov is when you can get to your destination, and Ra is when you can't. And now we bring the Ra in. So we're saying like this. The first Hey, okay? The Perek Aleph that we've spoken about so much in Bereishis. Pure truth that a person has an intuitive, by the way, awareness of. We intuitively have chesed, MS, justice, the sense that we're purposeful, that we have an origin, that we come from something for a reason. We have these intuitive awarenesses. This has to be enhanced through Torah, through Chachma, the real Chachma of the Torah. Okay, that's called Yetzias Mitzrayim. All right, that's also that. That's called Perek Aleph, being in Gan Eden. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, it became clear to them through all the Nisim, right, that there's one truth and only one thing to be devoted to. But something comes in between. That's the combination of the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim. And we never get to the destination, the second Hey, where we can actualize all of these ideas in our day-to-day life consistently. Because even when we get to Eretz Yisrael, we're in and we're out. We can't hold on to it, and that's the reality of our lives. We have good moments, salvageable moments, you know, redeeming moments, good patches, and then we fall, and we're up, and we're down. There's gullus, there's gula. It's the nature of the beast. You can't really hold on to it because there's an interference between the mind and the actualization that comes from us, and it's called ra. It means we create a stumbling block. We create something that stops us in our tracks, and that's the union of these 2 days. They create like barriers on both sides. Shavasar B'Tamas are breaking luchos, are a barrier to the das, to the first hay, to the Perek Aleph, right, to our access to Chaya Olam Haba. And the second one is that it doesn't allow us to enter into Eretz Yisrael, actualization, you know, materializing these ideas. They stop us right in the middle. Those are the barriers of Shavasar B'Tamas and Chayda Egel. So far, so good. Okay, so what is Shavasar B'Tamas? The Mishnah tells us, we're not going to read the Mishnah now, but the end of of Perek Dalet in the Mishnah in Tana says that 5 things happened on Shavasar B'Tamas. And if you think about them, we associate Shavasar B'Tamas with the breaching of the walls and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, but it's not. It doesn't have to do with that. Listen, the 5 things that happened on Shavasar B'Tamas are the Luchos were broken, okay? The Karban Tamid that was offered in the starting in the Mishkan in the Midbar, all the way from over 800 years. So the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first temple, finally came to an end. Okay, the eternal Korban Tamid came to an end. I'll give you a hint here. Then Rav Moshe points out that in Pinchas, in Parshas Pinchas, when it's describing the Korbanos, the Korban Tamid has an official title. It's a long name. It's called Ola Satamid Asher Asuya Bahar Sinai. That's the name of it. In other words, the Korban Tamid, the importance of it is that it was brought on Har Sinai, and the fire that came down on Har Sinai is the very same fire that came down to consume the Korban on that 8th day when they succeeded in building the Mishkan. And that fire from heaven burned the Korban Tamid forever for 800 years. So in other words, it's a continuation of the experience of Har Sinai, of Hashem, so to speak, coming down into our awareness. That's what we mean when we say Hashem came down. Hashem doesn't move, but our awareness had a greater perception. And that was represented by the fire from heaven that existed continually. And it's not just continually because chronologically it just was existing for 800 years or more. It's called continual because it's a connection to eternity, something that is continual. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that the Korban Tamid stopped means it's really nothing to do with the Korban per se, the destruction. It's in a disattachment to Har Sinai. You see that? The next thing that happened to other events are that a posthumous, a Greek, burnt the Sefer Torah. Another Greek, or a Roman maybe, put a tzelem in the Heichal. That clearly, burning the Sefer Torah, which had been unheard of, that type of violation of what was considered sacred for the first time, means a disregard, no fear for the events of Har Sinai. Putting a tzelem, an image, in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash, is a violation of the first two Debros, an awareness of I am Hashem. And the fifth one is Huvka Ha'ir. It's actually listed third. Huvka Ha'ir. The city was what? It doesn't mean that the walls were broken. We use Hayam Bokata. What is Bokea? Bokea Yam. Split. It's a very important idea. Moshe points out that by Har Sinai, the zechus that we had for receiving the Torah is the achdus of Klal Yisrael. Remember? Ki ish echad belev echad. The oneness. That oneness is not just that Klal Yisrael were one. We were one with what we knew, and if there would be no interference with how we would express it in action, the Tzuras Adam would be complete. Right? You see that? There would be a continuum between what Hashem bestowed, the first hay, and the second hay. It was echad. When Yerushalayim was built, Ir shechuvra lo yachdav. It was a city that created a oneness. There was everyone only entered Yerushalayim through one gate. It had the oneness. Shivasar v'tamas, huvka ha'ir, was the first time that oneness was split. Like the yam, water is hydrophilic. Baka is hayam bakata. You pulled something apart that should be together. You split the water. It doesn't talk about the breaching of the walls. The city was split in half. That means it's a disruption of the Echad. Everything you're hearing about on Shavasar B'Tamas is telling you that the first sin, it's the same sin as eating from the Eitz Hadas. That's why the Chayda Egel is always compared to, it's in another version of the Eitz Hadas. What happens is Klal Yisrael, without going into the whole Chayda Egel, but the Chayda Egel and its ramifications, which is the breaking of the Luchos, together represent that Klal Yisrael introduce into what could have been maintained as a pure channel of truth their own perspective of on life, which turns sheker into tov, which we call ra, bad, because it interferes with the progress when you can never become the full Tzuras HaAdam. It's the fragmentation of the Tzuras HaAdam. And everything that happens on Shavasar V'Tamas is another aspect of another description, another version of an interference with the clear attachment to what Rambam calls a deyot nechonot, truth, knowledge of truth. So far, so good? That leads inevitably, because the sin is, by the way, they talk about this a lot, the sin is not the action. The sin is allowing oneself to be disconnected from truth so that they can perceive that this behavior would be tov, even though it's sheker. That's the sin. Obviously, the action is inevitable. Once a person has shifted their perspective, then automatically the results of that are going to be all kinds of violations of laws, of halacha, of the lifestyle we live in thought, speech, and action, right? The real sin of all the sins is allowing that disconnect to take place. Now, let's stop here for a second. Maisa Bereishis tells us that there is a disconnect. It's inevitable. We're born already with a little bit of that disconnect. We know that. That's the story of Maisa Bereishis. The story is that Hashem created a human being, and he divided, remember we talked about this, male and female, which were one. It's another way of speaking about the same thing. Male and female being one is a way of talking about the das, the knowledge, what we know to be true, and the application, giving life to it, are one. But Hashem split male and female, which means that Hashem set us up here where they're not one, where our minds could technically get to know truth, but that doesn't mean automatically that our physical choices and lifestyle will express that truth. That's our job. That's why it says in the beginning of Bereishis that after Hashem divided male and female, they had no names yet. Okay, Adam was both male and female. She wasn't called Chava till after. Then Hashem, what's the first thing Hashem did? He brought her back to the man, to Adam. What does that mean? What that is saying is, that Hashem's first, what Hashem wants from us is that we should reunite, right? We should reunite our ability to create and to implement and to bring to life what we love and what we desire. We should reconnect it with what is right, what is good, what is true, and they should be one. Because the big disconnect is that what we want and what we give life to, that's the female aspect, is not an expression of the truth. There are the light, the reality. So we should be. All the brachas, by the way, the brachas of marriage all very much relate to this. By the way, notice, as you pointed, that you make a bracha under the chuppah, Yotzer Ha'adam. Remember we talked about a Tzuras Ha'adam? At the chuppah, why not at birth? Yotzer Ha'adam means you create, you form man. You create a Tzuras Ha'adam. Why not at birth? Because the marriage of a male and a female, which is also a physical expression of a spiritual, metaphysical reality, is this union is a representation of the union between the female, which is the passion and the giving, the ability to give life to create, to bring into existence, to fashion, and it should be unified with the truth, but what is connected to, what is a direct connection to the Olam Ha'emes, to true Das, to what's right, as we learn in Torah, should be one. That's the Tzuras Ha'adam. That is the Yotzer Ha'adam. But you see that when there's a disconnect, everything falls apart. The Tzuras Ha'adam is fragmented. And we end up disconnected on both sides. One from the first hay, so to speak, one from the second hay. Okay? From Yetzias Mitzrayim to going into Eretz Yisrael. That's the two sins. And we talked about Shavasar B'Tamas is a disconnection from the ability to be attached to Har Sinai, to the truth we perceived. And we said that to a certain degree, it's inevitable. Hashem separated man and woman. He created it. When Hashem came down on Har Sinai, it was just for a short time. He didn't stay there. Hashem went back up. But then what were we supposed to do? Build a Mishkan. And through our devotion, that was the huge accomplishment of Shemini, of Yom HaShemini, through our devotion, we created a place, so to speak, a physical place down here where Hashem's presence among us would be, you know, accessible, where we could come there and see and be reattached to what we experienced at Har Sinai. So it would be preserved among us as a reality. Forever. That's what we were supposed to do. We know Hashem doesn't bestow it on us free. We have to, Hashem gives us it to us on a condition that we preserve it and we hold on to it and we don't put it out. We don't put the fire out. We don't let it go out. That's really the batal hatamid. But when a person lets it go out or a nation lets it go out, then inevitably you get to the next chait, which is going to be a chait hamaraglim. Now notice by chait hamaraglim, Moshe said to them, just like Hashem said to Avram, by the way, we'll talk about Avram in a minute. Moshe said to them, go to the land, right, and see Hatova, is it good, okay? Mah ha'aretz asher yoshev, go see the land that these people are dwelling in. Hatovahu imra, is it tov or ra? Go see the land. The problem is that their ability to develop for themselves a correct perspective on the land, that it's tov, because it's Hashem's land that he promised us, so therefore it's pure emes, the ability to see it as tov and not see it as ra is a major challenge because they've already done the cheder egel, which already disconnected them from that clear perspective. That's the breaking of the luchos. That's the idea that they've already introduced the possibility through the cheder egel of seeing things from their own perspective and not from the perspective of truth because they've separated. There's a disconnect from that. That's the same thing as saying eating from the Eitz HaDaas. Then they're kicked out of Gan Eden or they don't go into Eretz Yisrael. What that means is that once a person introduces their own perspective where Sheker becomes Tov, which we call Ra, which means you're discontinued, you can't get to your destination, then you're kicked out of Gan Eden. Gan Eden is the place where everything's in order. But this type of person is not, it's, things are no longer in order. They're not living in Gan Eden. They're living in the real, so to speak, world of their own creation. And then it becomes the task of getting back. Now, remember when they were kicked out? So it says in Bereishis that Hashem set up Kruvim. Remember the Kruvim? Lishmor Derech Eitz HaChayim, to watch the path to the Eitz HaChayim. Rav Hirsch points out. What does that mean? We have an image that standing there as guards so that nobody could get back. No one's allowed back in. because we're so tainted, we can't get back in. He said, not at all. Lishmor, the word shomer is to preserve, like shomer Shabbos. Don't violate the Shabbos. Preserve it in its holiness. The kruvim are there to ensure that the derech eitz ha'chaim, the path back to the tree of life, that's the same as saying back to the knowledge, back to perek aleph, back to the first hay. Torah is eitz ha'chaim, which is always ready and waiting and in good shape. So anyone who wants to walk back that path, it's preserved for them. Why kruvim? This is very important, Shavasar B'Tamaz and Tisha B'Av. Why kruvim? When else do we see kruvim? And what were they? What figures were they? Male and female. And Chazal say that they were. It was a miracle, like everything in the Beis Hamikdash. When Klal Yisrael were behaving properly, in other words, when our connection between the first hay and the second hay, between what we know and what we behaved, going out of Mitzrayim and entering Eretz Yisrael, and that was in order. The Tzuras HaAdam was in order. Guess what? They were embracing. And I think embracing means more than that because it was male and female. And when they were not, when there was a disconnect, they were separated. The strange thing is, Chazal Gemara tells us, that when they were being taken into Golus, they pulled back the veil of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and guess what they saw? They were. Male and female were together. What is that trying to tell us? This Bein HaMetzorim. That A, it's Tov, B, what of course, and part of that Tov is that it's another way. Gullus is just a different, you know, opportunity, a different way of reuniting through the school of hard knocks, through experience, through lessons tried and failed and retried and, you know, all kinds of different attempts at setting up life not in accordance with Hashem's direction. All those things will be tried and fail, and eventually, accumulatively, after a long time, it'll become clear there's only one derech and one MS, and everything else is our own concoction, and it has no kiyum, it has no real existence, can't be preserved, can't be maintained, implodes under its own weight, collapses under its own weight, which every one of these systems and empires has. And therefore, Hashem is showing us that this union, this gullus is going to lead straight to what everything leads to anyway, because there's no way to get off course. Is going to lead to the reunion of the what's MS in, that we can know is MS and how we conduct ourselves, the reunion, the Tzuras HaAdam. Although we are limited now, we're between these two constraints. Okay, although now it's a place where we could be a target, because once we are disconnected from our Tzuras HaAdam is not intact, that's when Hashem sends the enemies against us, because that's what's going to help us through experience recreate the Tzuras HaAdam. And then that place becomes not a place where we're targets, but the most protected place. By the way, I just want to mention about Avraham. This is very important. Avraham, Behi Bar'am, that we said the two hays, but there's also another approach to it. For Avraham, spit around the letters, it's Avraham. Avraham was the person, okay, who understood that we were thrown out of Gan Eden for way too long. And we had to go back to the, so to speak, refine the derech eitz, you know, hachayim, the way to the tree of life, which is a euphemism for the Torah, which is, by the way, in every person we make in the brachas, chaye olam nata besochenu, that ability to reconnect to that truth is implanted in every person, has the eitz hachayim in here, the tree of life. We say it in the bracha, chaye olam nata besochenu, life, eternal life, truth, you've planted in us. Every person makes this journey. Avram represents the human being that explained it to mankind, that made it his mission. But every human being is expected to make the journey where they start going back, reconnecting their behaviors to their thoughts, to proper thoughts, and making a union out of the two. That's Avram. That's what Avram started to do. Okay, Avram started to bring the world back into a situation and leading, culminating in Matan Torah, that the Tzuras HaAdam could be fixed, it could be complete once again. So this time period, we have to think about it as a time period where every one of us, all the time, finds ourselves in the, you know, struggling with this. On the one side is the responsibility. It's a must. It's not an option. Because not to do this is to live purposelessly. everybody must strive, and it comes from learning, and learning is not only from books, but it's very, you know, books have a lot of information on them, but it's through experience, and it's through mitzvahs, and it's through yisurim and suffering, and it's through emunah, and it's through emunah pshuta, you know, knowing that whatever it is, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no ra. We introduced it. Okay, there's no ra from Hashem's perspective, however that is. That's the Masa Merkava, that's the first yud, you know, for the thoughts of Hashem that brought the world into existence, which we do not comprehend. That's Yechezkel's vision. That's the Olam HaEmes. That's the Chaya Olam Haba. But a person has to strive through learning to attach themselves as much as possible to that first place, the place of proper thinking, of pure thinking. Then a person has to make sure, this is the real, real hard work of living, not to interfere with that. Not to make, that's called eating from the Tzadas. That's called baking the chayda egel, not to interfere with that flow. Just let it keep flowing and don't do things that actively interfere with it. Then what will automatically happen, this is the tikkun of the chayda meraglim, is we'll enter into the land. That land, by the way, philosophically is in everybody's potential to enter into in a philosophical way. Ha'aretz asher areka, the land that I will show you. Here's what he says, brings down, we have to know that Hashem will show us the land. In other words, it's not our perspective on the land. It's as Hashem shows it to us. That's the perfect and that's the good land. Let our mind remain connected to the way we're supposed to think. You know, we can only know this by learning and by expanding the mind and making everything into a learning experience and being with people who spend their time learning and thinking and having valuable conversations about these type of things. And then a person is constantly on the alert not to interfere with that. That interference is bein hamitzorim, right? It blocks us off on both sides. It's ra because it stops us midstream. That's the object. That is the whole challenge of living. Because any moment, every moment, it's so easy to eat from the Eitz Hadas, right? Or in other words, which means introduce our perspective, what's good, what's bad, disconnected from what's true and what's false, right? See, and that, and then we're stuck in the middle, and then we're a target because we don't we've interfered with the flow, so to speak, and then we're in danger. We're not the Tzuras Adam. We're not intact. Anyway, that's the bigger picture of Shavuot Matan. It's all courtesy of Rav Moshe Shapiro. It's pretty good, huh? Yes, what are you going to say? Oh, I didn't list Tisha B'Av, right, I'm sorry. There was Apostomus burned the Sefer Torah. Apostomus burned the Sefer Torah. Hemid Selim Behechal. And Hufka Ha'ir. Right. Okay. Have a good week, everybody.
I wasn't talking about Shevardnadze.
Hemir Tzashem next week, yes.
I was talking about the fact Reya is the thing.